Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, December 11th, 2019. I'm Dan Hyman. The United States House of Representatives is preparing to formally call for President Donald Trump to be removed from office.
On this solemn day, I recall that the first order of business for members of Congress is to take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, at the announcement of two articles of impeachment, one for abuse of power, charging Trump used his office for his personal benefit by extorting Ukraine to undermine a political opponent, another for obstructing Congress by blocking its subpoenas for testimony and documents. Trump took to Twitter, this time with a two-word tweet that said simply, "witch hunt." The full House is expected to vote on the articles before Christmas. Senate leader Mitch McConnell says the trial will not take place until January, and again said he would be totally surprised if two-thirds of the senators voted to remove Trump from office. Planned expansion of oil and gas development, $1.4 trillion worth over the next 4 years, would push global temperatures beyond the tipping point of catastrophic climate change, according to a new report.
Natalie Eddy is a field advocate with the environmental group Earthworks. She says that would lock in 148 gigatons of carbon dioxide emissions that could raise global temperatures more than 2 degrees Celsius.
Puts us in a whole new bright red level of emergency in terms of how do we avert dangerous climate change.
The Paris Climate Agreement seeks to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius to significantly reduce the risks and impacts of climate change. Eddy points out that rising sea levels, increasingly violent storms, droughts, flooding, and wildfires already occurring due to climate change are a forecast of things to come. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
An Ohio State House of Representatives committee could vote today to approve so-called anti-protest legislation.
Randy Cunningham with the Cleveland Environmental Action Network says it's similar to legislation in other states backed by the oil and gas industry after the Dakota Access Pipeline protests in 2016.
They have applied it to virtually everything you can think of. Railroads, refineries, pipelines, injection wells. The goal of it is to chill the conversation, to chill dissent.
Rob Eschenbaugh with Capital Advocates represents a group of businesses and trade groups supportive of SB 33. He contends it's needed to protect public safety.
There have been increased threats to critical infrastructure in Ohio, and the enhanced penalties in this bill is hopefully going to be a deterrent for any of those actions in the future.
The Ohio Senate passed SB 33 in May by a 24-8 vote. Mary Sherman reporting.
This is PNS. About 300 Saudi Arabian military aviation students have been grounded in a safety stand-down, according to Reuters. Last week, a Saudi Air Force lieutenant shot and killed three people and injured eight at a U.S. Navy base in Pensacola, Florida. A court challenge by conservation groups has forced the Bureau of Land Management to pull back dozens of oil and gas leases in western states.
A federal judge ruled last week that the BLM failed to properly study the effects of climate change. The lawsuit was filed by the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, Living Rivers, and the Center for Biological Diversity. Diane Descalo-Joffe is an attorney with the Center for Biological Diversity and says federal officials were in a rush to fulfill the Trump administration's goal of American energy dominance.
BLM realizes the error of their ways. In their rush to lease hundreds of thousands of acres, completely violated the law, which requires an in-depth analysis on the future impact of the development of oil and gas on those lease parcels.
BLM officials say once the new reviews are complete, they will issue a decision for each lease. They may either cancel it, modify its terms, or lift the suspension without any changes. For Public News Service, I'm Mark Richardson.
Forest farming, raising ginseng, mushrooms, and other herbs, which require forest cover, is a niche but growing agricultural business in Appalachia. The supporters say it's good for the forests and environment where it happens.
Last month, U.S. Senators Mark Warner and Tim Kaine, both Democrats from Virginia, announced nearly $600,000 in federal funding for a university-led project aimed at helping Appalachian residents start forest farms. Eric Hoffner of the environmental news site Mongo Bay says forest farming could be a tool to help mitigate the effects of climate change.
Ginseng or black cohosh, other valuable herbs mushrooms, things like this, that can be cultivated intentionally on the forest floor. It sequesters a lot of carbon from the atmosphere. It's really good for biodiversity.
He adds the region is especially well-suited to the practice, noting that many plants driving the global nutraceutical industry are native to the Appalachian region. For Public News Service, I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
Yes, someone is putting tiny cowboy hats on pigeons in Nevada. And no, no one has publicly explained why. An astonished-sounding man named Bobby Lee posted a short video online of two birds, one dressed in a jaunty red hat and one with a more subdued gray one. After a second sighting and an unverified but similar report from Reno, law enforcement officials formally stated that it does not appear to be a police matter at this time. I'm Dan Hyman for Public News Service, member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.